Fred Film Radio, Festival de Cannes, France.
Angela Cherby, Fred Film Radio from the Cannes Festival. I'm here with Laurie Anderson. Good morning.
Good morning.
We are lying on the beach on a very sunny day. It's really fantastic. This is one of the good sides of my job, actually.
Yeah, it's a job.
We're here to talk about Go Where You Look, which is a three VR films installation that is showing in Cannes inside of the Cannes Zen program. You are a very wide artist in terms that you managed, you went through all the different medias, and VR was needed. I mean, you were just missing this one.
No, I missed a few other ones.
Well, how come? How were you attracted to it? How did this project get birth?
You know, I'm not really a tech geek. I kind of am, but you know, I just like stories. And so I like to work in all sorts of different kinds. I like painting, I like music, I like theater. I'm not a specialist, to say the least. And so when VR came along, I was like, oh, I don't want to do it. Because why? Because I made a CD-ROM in the 90s. And these kind of new technologies can come, and then they go. And so all the work we put into CD-ROM called Puppet Motel, stories and music and images and films and all in this kind of digital platform. Well, the digital platform collapsed and it's a bunch of arrows pointing to nothing. It evaporated.
Yeah.
So Shenchen Wang is from Taiwan. He's my partner in digital world. So he said, do you want to make some VR? He said a couple of years ago, you want to make some VR? And I was like, no, because I don't want to make another thing that will just disappear, evaporate. It's not like film where you carefully preserve it, or like a library where you take care of it. No, it is nothing. It the whole frame dissolves, the whole thing.
It's so really virtual.
It's virtual. It's virtual. So I said no, and then he said, let me just show you how it works. And he showed me, and I realized it's my dream. I can fly. I can fly here. So it was wild. And I said, okay, let's do something. So these three pieces are weirdly connected. The through line is flight. And one, you're in a plane that just kind of gradually falls apart. You're the only one on this flight. And then another one is you're flying through a room of like a building or edifice, let's say, of stories. And another one is you take a trip to the moon. And so there are each ways of telling different kinds of stories in various ways. And so it was that attracted me, stories and flight. And also really the body, because unlike films where, of course, you use your imagination and your sense of identity and you identify thoroughly with the character that you're told to, in VR, you can use your hands and use your body. So you are represented in some very mental way, like you are in your dream.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Because you're completely dipped into what you're experiencing.
Yeah, it's below you on either side. It's not in a rectangle in front of you. One thing that happened, there's a first piece that we did was called a loft. And this means you're working with your virtual hands. Your hands are represented almost as outlines, but they're controlled by your real hands. So your motion is represented digitally. And you can grasp things, you can touch things with these virtual hands. Now, one of my assistants has a condition in which his hands are crumpled. He can't open them. They're in a closed position like a fist. And in a couple of years, he can have an operation that cuts all the muscles and he can open his hands. But anyway, for now, he was a musician, so he had this condition, and it was terrible because, you know, he can't play anymore. So we were showing him this piece aloft where you look at your virtual hands, and he was doing it. And as he was doing it, he had the big goggles on. His hands opened up, and he began touching things. And I just started to cry, and I took all these pictures. I was like, your hands opened.
Yeah.
We don't know anything about how the brain and the body relate. We don't. And we try to understand through philosophy, through science, through art, what is the connection between our dreaming selves, our body, our brain cells, and our bodies. We don't know that. You know, we have only theories.
And listen, when you were thinking about what to tell in these three pieces, did the new technology help you or prevented you to do something you would have done you couldn't, or opened you additional words to?
It did all of those things. All of those things. Because you have to adjust, you have to forget everything you know about telling a story. Forget beginning, forget middle, forget end. Forget narrative arc, forget the character, yeah. Forget the unreliable narrative, forget everything. Start again. So I love this kind of blank slate. And so we had to reconstruct all of those things. And it was super challenging. So, for example, in The Moon, it was a commission from Louise Anna Museum in Denmark. And they were doing a big moon show. So scientific moon, technological moon, mythic moon, art moon, every aspect of how we've seen the moon. And they said, make a VR about the moon, your moon. It doesn't have to be the moon. It can be your moon. And so we thought, oh, this is nice, because the moon is always about reflection, not so much the object of the moon itself, but how it appears to us. So that's already a virtual situation. So it was really a great... In answer to your question, for example, some of the things I thought would work did not work. There was going to be originally a Russian spy kind of movie, because all of the dark side, the far side of the moon, is Russian names. And I thought, oh, this is going to be really fun. We do the Russian version. And then another one was going to be about, the fake moon landing, of course, because it's a perfect topic for virtual reality, which creates a fake world. To create another fake world within the fake world of the fake world. So that was fun. We didn't go that way, but we did a lot of experiments with swings, for example. You're swinging from outside a planet onto another, and it was too terrifying.
Yeah.
Everyone was just vomiting. So we canceled that one. And then we did one of the stories that inspired me. Did not work as a story, but it worked somewhat in a different way as a visual. Because if you have too many stories, it gets kind of like blah, 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 and you don't have the freedom to move around. And this is key.
Yeah,
this is
absolutely.
Key. Not this, somebody telling you something, but your freedom to fly and explore.
And you have time to absorb it, to actually
your own
experience
time.
It.
Your own time. It's not the filmmaker's time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I mean, nothing against filmmakers' time. They calculate how many seconds you need to absorb that scene and that, you know, when you're... And they manipulate you to go to the next one. We do the same, or we try to. But, of course, it's a combination that we have to make of volition and freedom.
Yeah.
So in To the Moon, sometimes your wrist is blinking and says that's okay to fly. And other times you're swept away. You're taken up to the top of the mountain involuntarily and dumped off.
Yeah.
You know. So this is we combine these two ways of seeing things. Now, the story we were not able to include, for example, in The Moon... was a lawsuit in the our world, in our so-called real world. The Chinese brought a lawsuit to the international courts a few years ago, and the lawsuit said that the Chinese own the moon. Just the way the Europeans would claim the New World, I plant my flag, I own it. I own this whole continent because I put my flag here. Okay, so we were like, okay, that's an interesting one. So, of course, then the Russians go, oh, no, we were there
first.
Americans go, we are the first guy there. The Italians go, we saw it first.
Yeah. Everybody has his own.
Who owns it?
Yeah.
What is ownership? So we had a number of issues, sort of things, themes about that. So they that one of colonization expressed itself in the last scene of just moons, flags being thrown to the moon almost like spears, like poof, 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 and then diamonds falling.
Which are gorgeous, by the way.
Oh,
huge,
thanks.
Black, shiny diamonds.
Yeah, that was inspired by... Twinkle, twinkle, little star. And the last verse of that is such a beautiful... It was, when the blazing sun is gone, when there's nothing left to shine upon, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder where you are. So it's a kind of planetary extinction song as a nursery rhyme, you know, that we just kind of got lured into.
I want to ask one thing, because both in Aloft and in Chalkroom, words are really important.
Yes.
Letters and numbers are really important. Yes. And you, as a viewer, you experience in your typing words, you know, typing stories, which I find it really, really fascinating. And it was like a step forward to what regular VR have been up now. So how important languages for you?
Well, very, of course. Very, of course. And it's stories. But in as you notice, as the pieces progressed, and I'm just talking about from Aloft was our first, Chalkroom was second, the Moon was third, they became less wordy and more spatial. So that, for example, we didn't include that Chinese lawsuit story and represented it in another way, giving more freedom to people, which seemed to be an interesting way to go, because it was... I mean, we really watch people doing this and how they're using it and what they think about it, and that kind of feedback is really, really valuable to us.
Even if, personally, it's good either way. I mean, it's good, like, if it's more of a, if you can call it game, where you you move yourself into it, but Aloft, it makes you think more.
Yeah.
It's more deep. It's more, it puts you in contact with yourself more than... the Moon,
right,
for example.
Yeah.
This was my personal
interesting
experience. So they all compensate themselves, you know.
Yeah.
But it's not the one's better than the other.
Yeah, they're very different. And VR is very different from one to another because, you know, most VR really is documentary. If you were going to say, like in a film festival, what's a doc and what's a feature film, what's a fiction film, most VR is doc. It's trying to pretend that you're there.
Yeah.
Recreate the world, and you're like, wow, I'm at the Mexican border. Wow, I'm somewhere else. And I don't think VR is so good at that, because when it represents people, they're unpleasantly rubbery.
Yeah, you're
they
right.
Don't
you're
look
right.
very good.
Yeah, so, because we are used to a much higher quality.
Exactly.
So.
And that's not, if you're looking for that, don't do VR.
No.
But I am curious, you know, how other... oh, we have a nice bass line here now. Boom, 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 suddenly in the background. A lot of parties here on the beach starting up. Anyway, so it just depends how what you're trying to do. You know, you can do a lot of different things with this art form. And I'm curious about filmmakers who would like to try it, because they have all of the same story questions that we have, and they've thought about it from different angles. Plus, I should say to filmmakers who are struggling to get a budget for your film, VR is cheap. No actors, there's no budget whatsoever. There's no cameras.
Yeah, I know.
There's no cameras,
just a
there's
question
no lenses.
Of a different approach, probably. I mean, you as an artist, you have to erase what you
It's a different
did
kind
before.
Of story, but I'm curious, like, if I hope more filmmakers gravitate towards that. I know that there's a bit of a resistance toward it, because it's not really cinema. You know, it's like not... It has no tradition.
New media always have this kind of backlash. It's just
of
a question
course, of course, yeah.
time.
Yeah. And I'm not somebody who's a cheerleader for technology at all. Not at all. I don't think just because it uses tech, it's good. I think maybe if it uses tech, it's maybe not very good. You know, it's like how I think. But in this case... it has some interesting things that it can do.
Well, thank you very much.
You're
thank
welcome.
You very much to Laurie Anderson for having been with us. I'm Angelo Cerbi from the Cannes Film Festival for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.